This interview is for information only and should not be considered as investment advice or a recommendation to buy shares in the company featured. Welcome to this Stockbox interview. It's Friday and we're back with Alan Green on the Research Talks podcast. So, welcome back again, Alan. How are you?
I'm very well, Mark. Friday's come around again. We're accelerating headlong towards Christmas.
Yeah, aren't we just? Hey, yeah.
Headlong and we're waiting for that Santa rally.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, the Santa rally. Is it happening this year?
That's a very good point. I think we've got this cocktail, haven't we? We've got the relief. Certainly, you know, looking at the FTSE as we speak, it's pushed well above 6.5. Mm. But of course, we've got the relief of the vaccines, which have been rolled out across the market. Then, of course, we've got the likes of Debenhams and Arcadia going into administration, mm-hmm. and probably a raft of other retailers following, I would think, just after Christmas as well. So, of course, the old high street's been killed off as we know it. Then we've got Rishi, who says the UK economy's in the emergency room. You know, it's in a bad way. And then, of course, we've got Brexit. You know, will there be a no deal Brexit, or will we come away with a deal at the 11th hour? And I think that's, we've got this cocktail. But remarkably, really, I think the FTSE has held up incredibly well. But of course, trading 6-9 months ahead as it does, you know, we're now looking in the middle of next year, and things do seem to be fairly stable. So and of course, to boot with that, the Nationwide said this week that the UK house prices have risen by 6% this year. You know, which is quite astonishing. You know, given the backdrop, but yeah.
Yeah, I saw that as well. I think in the north, actually, where my flat is, that I heard they were up about 10% in the last few months. It's interesting times, isn't it? And I wouldn't be surprised if the government finally announced a deal. I think Christmas Eve is probably a good time for them to announce that. Gives everyone plenty of time, a good solid week there, you know, to prepare for all the changes that will happen in January. So, I think Christmas Eve would be a prime time to release the news on the deal.
I agree. I think if they can send that one down the chimney, it'll go down really well. But I think it is interesting, isn't it? Probably if this had happened, pre-credit crunch, you know, we would have fallen off a cliff. The markets would have fallen off a cliff. But I think given the propensity of governments around the world now to almost buy their way out of crisis, you can print money, you can just, can carry on with asset purchases and quantitative easing and what appears to be a massive insurmountable planet destroying issue can be solved with money it's there's something slightly phony about the whole thing.
A phony war, definitely. I've heard that before. It's definitely a phony war going on. But
this is a perpetual phony war.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, you know, when does it end? A lot of people say, yeah, there's a bubble, but if it bursts long after I'm dead, I don't care.
That's right. As long as that bubble remains inflated for the duration of my life, and that is how people are conducting their lives.
Yeah, effectively. It's hard to know what to do, isn't it? Anyway, let's get on with the task in hand. So we've got on the cards today Katoro Gold and Venture Life Group, and I think we're going to start with Katoro.
Katoro Gold, yeah. Okay. Yes, indeed. Okay, so Katoro Gold, as the name would imply, they are an African gold company. The epic code is KAT. Shares thus far have traded as high as 4.9p and as low as 0.8p. They're currently sitting at 2.2p. There are two core projects that the group is now engaged with, and during the year the company sold one of its key assets, formerly the Imwera Gold Project or Reef Miners Limited, to Lake Victoria Gold, and raised I think £1 million at that point, which led to an interim profit for the half year of £364,000, up from a loss last year of £433,000. So certainly it's improved the balance sheet. But Katoro are now primarily concerned with two key projects, and I'm going to talk about the first one, which is the Blyvoor Gold Tailings joint venture. And these are the tailings that are at the Blyvoor gold mine in South Africa, located some 75 kilometers southwest of Johannesburg. Now, the initial arrangement was that Katoro entered a 50-50 joint venture with the Blyvoor Gold Operations Holding Company, Target Mine Consulting. There are six gold tailing dams containing a JORC resource estimate of 1.34 million ounces of gold, average grade 0.3 grams per ton. And of course, as a producing mine, the straight away the joint venture is targeting initial production of 250,000 tons a month, ramping up to 500,000 tons of material from the tailings within 2 years. At once they're processing 500,000 tons of ore and tailings per month, that should lead to production of 35,000 ounces of gold per annum. And this is based on the calculations from the consultants that have undertaken research on the site. So through the year, we've had a series of site visits, and of course, this year the COVID crisis has hampered movement, as we've seen around the world. So it's been difficult for consultants and analysts and potential partners to get to the site simply because of the travel restrictions in place. But site visits did indeed take place during July, and there is a complex financing program required to get the gold tailings project up and running and get the infrastructure there at Blyvoor operating again. The beneficiation plant will be required to process the ore on the site, and also what the beneficiation plant does, it gets rid of the waste ore, sifts through it to extract the gold. So process or the process has continued. The key stalling point for Katoro with this project has been funding, and at various stages through the year, the company has announced that it's close to reaching a funding agreement, and then of course that deadline gets pushed back, which is quite normal in operations of this nature. In September, it announced the funding strategy. It was looking at the funding strategy incorporating different funding instruments. Last week, November 30th, Katoro announced it had expressions of interest for an amount well in excess of the peak funding requirement of $36.5 million. These expressions of interest and the funding would be provisional on the following points: a restated resource and reserve statement, and also an independent valuation. Prospective funders would be required to complete their own due diligence, and also what is currently a joint venture, that is the joint venture with the Target Mine Consulting, the holding company, is required to become an incorporated entity. So in answer to all those four points, Katoro said it had already completed the restated resource and reserve statement, which was undergoing final review and was ready for distribution to the partners. The independent valuation has been completed. The prospective funders have completed their own due diligence, and indeed work is underway to put the entity into an incorporated company. So this is really strong progress, finally, COVID notwithstanding, from Katoro. As I said, the company itself is well funded to continue its operations as a company after the interim profit following the disposal of the Imaru Gold Project at the half year. So really, we are poised, I think, as we exit from COVID, we're finally poised, I think, to with Blyvoor to bring this on stream. Mm-hmm. And indeed, the expectations are really near term for this. You know, it's expected that once the beneficiation plant is completed, then the initial production of 250,000 tons of ore can start more or less straight away. So this is very much a near term project. Before I go on to the next project, a quick look at the board. Of course, mm-hmm. we've got Louis Coetzee, who is well known as a figure within the mining industry. Also, is CEO of Kibo Energy and formerly worked with Great Basin Gold. Miles Campion is well known as an investor and expert in the mining field. And Louis Sheepers, formerly of Missouri Exploration and Great Basin Gold, also on the board there. So we've got a company now. The valuation has moved up in recent weeks to $7.5 million, and clearly, once the production funding is in place for Blyvoor, I think we're going to see a further movement in valuation, in an increased valuation in the shares. Given that this is, it's almost a plug and play. It's almost a plug and play project. You know, there as a former mine, it's often easy to bring these back into production because the infrastructure is largely in place to do that. So that's Blyvoor. Mm-hmm. We then move on to the Hanetti project, and this is this will no doubt be familiar to listeners through our discussions and close looks at Power Metal Resources. This is the Hanetti project, which is a world-class nickel deposit some 80 kilometers north of the Tanzanian capital of Dodoma. It's a huge area, some 5,000 square kilometers. It's prospective for nickel, lithium, and, of course, gold and the platinum group metals. Nickel values from previous exploration, from the initial surveys there, have come back as high as 13.5%. There's a lot of history at Hanetti as well. It was first explored in 1931. Then a lot of work was undertaken in the 1960s. Now, Power Metal Resources have come in as a partner with Katoro Gold. An extra $25,000 to take their holding up from 25% to 35%. So it's now a 65-35 arrangement between the two. The project has undergone consultation with the local government officers and the team on the ground there. The technical team have been liaising throughout this year with the Tanzania Ministry of Metals, and again, subject to the COVID restrictions. But in October, the company announced that pre-rig mobilization was underway ahead of the drilling program. A few weeks before the Blyvoor announcement in November, mid-November, the company announced that a drilling contract had been signed with Amazon Drilling. That's a local Tanzanian-based company. The entity was mobilizing to the first drill location that had been identified on the Hanetti project. They would undertake some 2,000 meters of rotary air blast drilling. And across that 2,000 meters, some 50 holes will be drilled to 40 meters deep. The cost of this project will be undertaken by the existing cash resources that Katoro has already. So, in summary, we have a company that has two projects literally on the launch pad. Mm-hmm. So the share price drivers for the company are any sort of drilling developments from Hanetti, and indeed the early indications are very promising there. It's a huge area, and of course nickel is key to the commodity commodities industry worldwide. And of course, gold, as we all know, is the precious metal of choice at the moment in the midst of the COVID crisis, as fiat currencies effectively become devalued. So, yeah. 7 million market cap. Any news from either of these two projects, I think, is going to drive exponentially drive the share price forward.
I think that's the thing with Katoro, isn't it? And certainly, what you tend to, the idea you tend to get from online is that they are sort of on the launch pad, but it's just, you know, just maybe just not quite, you know, grabbing it yet. But it's Louis always said that, you know, that the funding would be a gradual thing, and I think the announcement this week is. You know, it's pretty set that on its way. And with COVID delaying things, I think it's simply a matter of, you know, just a little bit longer and it'll get there.
Well, of course, we were saying beforehand with ECR Minerals in Australia, with the Krasic and Baileyston projects, again, movement's been hampered by COVID because of course, if representatives of the company fly from another state in Australia to Victoria, they then have to spend 14 days in quarantine, which is simply, it just simply doesn't work. So a lot of those visits have been delayed for that reason. And I'm not privy to the movement restrictions in South Africa, but I would imagine they're fairly similar. So, and so again, you know, had we not had COVID in place, I think it's fair to say that the funding would already be in place and the restated resource and reserve statement would be out there already, and possibly even the beneficiation plant would be under construction as we speak. So it's not that far away. It's a very near term project.
Yeah. Well, hopefully next time we speak about Katoro, it has significantly moved on, which would be good. So what's next, Alan?
Well, this is a complete about turn, a complete change of subject.
We like that.
About as far away from mining as we can get. And I think we did that the other week with Bidstack.
Yeah, we did.
And other companies. So I'm going to talk about Venture Life Group. And Venture Life Group, the epicode is VLG. Just a quick recap, shares have hit a year high of £1.18 and a low of 20p, currently trading at just under 93 pence, giving the group a market cap of 79 million sterling. So Venture Life are a self-care group. By self-care, self-care is described as products for are self-administered by the person to themselves, and that's oral healthcare, proctology, dermatology, neurology, women's healthcare, cosmetics. It's the entire range of products that you can, you know, walk into Boots or Lloyd's Pharmacy and buy off the shelf. So Venture Life have been running for some years. The company is highly cash generative. They sell direct in the UK and the Netherlands, and they sell via agents in over 40 other countries around the world. So they've got a huge distribution network. They have a manufacturing and distribution plant near Milan in Italy. And of course, at the start of the COVID crisis in March, the shares fell to that year low of 20p because I think investors took the view that with the crisis in Lombardy in northern Italy, it would effectively shut the hub down. And of course, we now know subsequently from the developments that not only was the manufacturing facility completely unaffected, they have additional capacity to ramp up capacity by about 50%. So there's real scalability in the group to continue growing the business. And they've had an incredible year. Before I go on and discuss the company, I had just a quick word on the board. Chief Executive Jerry Randall has been involved in a number of pharma companies over the years, and Sharon Collins, the Chief Commercial Officer, one of the founders, also responsible for driving the company forward. But the company has always the company's grown and developed its reach through acquisition, and they made an acquisition. They acquired PharmaSource last year, integrated the company into the group, and interims were announced in September that showed the company had 6.6 million cash at the bank, despite the PharmaSource acquisition. So the company was acquired from the cash war chest that the group had had built up. At the half-year point, the revenues during the COVID crisis had risen by 80% to 16.9 million. 65% of those revenues were organic, and 15% of those revenues came in from the acquisition of PharmaSource. So that was, you know, a very strong performance and a quick integration of the business from the get-go. Gross profit rose 97%. Adjusted EBITDA, earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, amortization, up 368% to 3.5 million. A raft of new deals and development opportunities were announced. It should be remembered that among the group of products that are owned by Venture Life Group, they have a distribution network in the UK via Tesco's, Asda, Boots, Superdrug, and the European equivalents, particularly in the Netherlands as well, and of course Lloyds Pharmacy as a result of the PharmaSource acquisition. Mm-hmm. During the period, the company announced a new distribution agreement in China, which is going to be worth 168 million euros mm-hmm. over 15 years. So of course that was when they announced that turbocharged the share price earlier in the year, and a very strong order book for the second half of the year with 8 new distribution agreements and 11 new development agreements. The company also works with Alliance Pharma. Alliance Pharma, the AIM listed company, has the brand Kelico, which is a cosmetic brand that they are a manufacturing partner for Alliance Pharma. The company has a number of brands, Ultradex, which is the UK market leader for halitosis mouthwash, Disin Plus hand sanitizer, 1 million units of which were sold to Asda in the first half of the year. And also they have the dental mouthwash mm-hmm. And dental toothpaste. Now, dental, of course, will sound familiar to listeners because, this is the mouthwash which the company announced earlier in the year was being used for an in vitro trial at Cardiff University. So they were testing the efficacy of mouthwash on the SARS-CoV-19 virus. And on November 16th, the share price jumped again when they announced that the mouthwash, the trials at the university proved that the CPC-based mouthwash, and CPC is an element in mouthwash that is found in most of the major brands, but they used dental for this particular trial. And CPC mouthwash eradicates SARS-CoV-19 virus completely within 30 seconds. The full trial results will be published in early 2021. So that's obviously a real endorsement, not just of the dental mouthwash, but also it's another step forward in the battle against COVID. But I think it's important to recognise that, you know, this is just one element of the Venture Life offering. You know, they have a nebulous product offering, and indeed as the year has progressed, further acquisition opportunities have arisen, and about 2 weeks ago, November 20th, the company announced a placing to raise 34 million at 90p, and also 2 million from an open offer. And that's, you know, for a company in this position, that's it's pretty impressive to be able to raise, getting off of half of your market cap in the current market. They did. And at the same time, they announced that both Jerry Randall, Sharon Collins, and Gianluca were to sell some 8 million shares at the offer price. So I'll just put it in there. I think it's important to get that in there so people realize that the board have sold some shares. Not all of the shares, of course, but they have sort of exercised their options there. Mm-hmm. But the funds raise is being used to target earnings accretive acquisitions. And they have 3 targets. They have the Project Vulcan target, which is already well advanced. And then what they refer to as Target A and Target B. And these are These are the project Vulcan is an oncology support business. Project B, Project A is an oral and healthcare business, and Project B is a dermatological brand. So the progress from the group has been pretty phenomenal this year, and it's delivered an amazing performance. Shares have come back from the year highs and consolidated around the raise price. And bearing in mind that the fundraising was undertaken at 90p and the shares close to 90p now, I think it offers a great opportunity to buy into this group for the next stage of growth going forward. It's a company that's created a niche, but given that it's so highly cash generative and been able to raise the money from the market, I think the acquisitions will be earnings accretive, and we'll see Venture Life Group accelerate further and grow further during 2021.
Mm-hmm. And on the products that they do, then, Alan, what is it you like about them? What makes them a little bit different from perhaps what's already on the shelves in Tesco, for example?
Well, I think what's interesting is that there are sort of various diverse products and products that treat conditions, and of course we will have various niggles and conditions that we deal with. I mean, for instance, Pharmasource have a fungal nail treatment that it's quite a common complaint, and this is one that you apply directly onto the nails, and they announced an agreement early this year to distribute that product via Lloyd's Pharmacy. So they have an incredible reach into the market through these distribution channels. And, you know, make no mistake, if you're trying to leverage up brand sales and to improve your reach, having a company with that sort of reach is very attractive. And if that company comes along and wants to buy you, and you know that you can plug your product directly into that distribution network, that's a pretty compelling proposition. And I think what is attractive about the Venture Life Group investment proposition is its sheer diversity. If you look at the website, you'll see the distribution partners the company has, the products, the development and manufacturing facility. There's the information about the company is you're better off actually going to the website, which is venture-life.com to see all that. But it is just that range and the diversity of the offering that leads to, you know, a really solid cash generator of a business, and I think those people that had the foresight to get in when the share price crashed early this year to 20p have done incredibly well. You know, they've bought into a company that has, in a sense, prospered better during this year than it might have done at any other time. But now it's been able to raise the money to make these acquisitions, and of course there'll be further acquisitions to come next year. The board are very clear on that. There's a great opportunity for growth in 2021.
Okay, great. And of course they had that big catalyst, like you mentioned earlier, with the mouthwash, didn't they? Which has been great for them.
It has, yeah. But I think the board would be sort of keen to point out that, you know, that is just one part of it. Because I think, you know, during the year, any company that has made an announcement saying that they have a solution for COVID, or they've got something that kills the virus or can identify the virus on people, it's had a, I wouldn't say a disproportionate effect, but it certainly has on some companies. It's had a disproportionate effect on the share price. That hasn't really happened with Venture Life because they've got such a strong cash base. But certainly the fact that it was the dental mouthwash owned by Venture Life that was in the trial, and the fact that when the trial was announced a couple of weeks ago, it was announced on Monday a couple of weeks ago. I also interviewed Sharon Collins, the chief commercial officer, that day, and that video obviously is on our YouTube channel. But you can also that day, that news was picked up by all of the national press titles, there was a flurry of activity and interest, because, you know, mouthwash is an entirely new angle on COVID-19. Mm. And, you know, the fact that it can kill the virus in 30 seconds is a big step forward. But we'll get the full data on that when the papers are published in 2021. But, you know, that's obviously, it's been a very useful addition to what is already a broad, nebulous product offering.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much again, Alan.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you for listening to this Stockbox interview. For more information, interviews and videos, visit our website at stockboxmedia.com or give us a follow on Twitter by searching at Stockbox Media.